This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Hoping to finish up Andersonville here in just a moment because it's a little bit gross, but that's the story of Andersonville. It's a brutal story, and then we'll get to other things like the children of American billionaires being awful. We'll figure out how did a police officer get to be a police officer when he's an illegal? We're parking a bunch of Marines off the coast of Venezuela. All that, emails, and so much more in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Now, in case you're just now joining us, you missed an hour of the history of Andersonville POW camp during the Civil War. I'm not going to recap it all. Let's get back to what we were discussing. 33,000 men are stuffed in a 10,000-man camp. There's no shelter. There's no nothing. Now men are starving. They're dying of disease. If you look at pictures of them, which I wouldn't recommend before dinner, they all look like Holocaust survivors, every one of them. It's really hard to look at. It's very hard to look at. You're dying. You're dying of disease. You're essentially pooping yourself to death. You're dying. And there is something, and I forget who I read it. It might have been Solzhenitsyn, but it's been a while since I read it, where he talked about, he was a prisoner in a Russian gulag, I'll put it that way. And he talked about, you know, people, when they go through extreme hardship, if they discuss how brave and wonderful their fellow man was during it, then they haven't gone through enough hardship yet. And he said, this is why. If things get truly bad enough, there's not much bravery to be found anymore. There's mankind, human beings, when faced with misery and imminent death, will turn quite terrible if things are bad enough. And look, I could go through individual stories here, like they started digging holes for themselves to try to get some shelter to sleep in. You get down in the hole you dug for yourself and you're so sick you can't really move and it starts to rain and men would sit and drown in the holes they dug because they weren't strong enough to get out of it. This is what we're talking about. But we should talk about the Andersonville Raiders, they were known as. The Andersonville Raiders. What happened? A group of, I saw estimates from 80 to 150, so I'm just going to call it 100. You can't ever get an accurate number on this stuff. 100 men decided to rise up and become truly, truly evil. And they began to assault and steal from their fellow prisoners, stealing their food, stealing their clothes, essentially preying on their fellow prisoners as a means for survival. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this that deadline, everybody knows that term, deadline, I'm on a deadline, I've got a deadline. Do you know where that term came from? There was that big outer wall at Andersonville, 19 feet inside of that outer wall, there was a wooden rail put around the entire place. There were guards, there was a guard tower every 90 feet, they called them pigeon roosts. If you cross that rail, and sometimes if you even touch the rail, no shouts, no warnings, no nothing, pop, you're dead. That's how desperate it had gotten. They were simply shooting anybody who crossed the line. Men were so desperate by this point, they would cross the line on purpose so they could be shot instead of dying from disease. There are reports, I did not get enough of these to say it happened, but I'm sure it probably did at some point, of the Confederates throwing things like biscuits inside the deadline area to essentially get guys to go in there so they could shoot them. But that's another matter. Back to the Andersonville Raiders, they began to steal, beat up their fellow prisoners. Finally, a rival prison gang, I'm not making this up, rises called the Regulators. You didn't just think that was from the Young Guns movies, did you? The Regulators rise up. They fight the Andersonville Raiders, defeat the Andersonville Raiders, and for one, they put the leaders on the gallows, hanged them all. The others, they forced them to run a gauntlet through the prisoners who had been victims of their violence. A gauntlet is essentially where the men will stand on each side of you and beat you as you run by. Many of the Andersonville Raiders died having run through the gauntlet. Nobody's going to feel sorry for them. But let's wrap this up with a couple things here because I want to move on to politics, and this is a gross, very, very sad story. I want to clarify one thing, and I really want to make sure everyone understands this. There were prison camps all over the North and all over the South with death rates that almost equaled Andersonville. This wasn't a Confederate thing. Camp Douglas outside of Chicago, that's where a bunch of Confederate prisoners were held. The death rate almost equaled Andersonville. Starvation, disease. Civil wars are terrible things. Always remember that. Terrible things. And don't ever think for a second that there are angels on one side and demons on the other when we talk about the Civil War. There were plenty of angels on both sides and plenty of demons on both sides. I want to point that out. This prison camp only lasted about a year. 13,000 men dead in 1 year. Yep, a little more than a year, Chris. It ends. The war ends. Now, the man who was in charge of this prison camp, he is Henry, I'm going to call him Wirz. I heard Wirtz. I heard Wears. I heard Veers. I'm just going to call him Wirz. All right, Henry Wirz was his, he was a previously wounded Confederate soldier. He had been wounded in the arm. His arm was kind of disabled. He had a sling. He was the man who was put in charge of this prison. He repeatedly, and this is all documented, repeatedly asked his superiors for medical supplies for the prisoners, food for the prisoners, clothing for the prisoners. Now, I don't want to make this guy sound like he was any kind of a hero, because there was plenty of testimony that he was a harsh man. But we do have documentation that he was constantly, it wasn't once, constantly saying, I need food. All these people are starving. I need shelter. They're in makeshift tents. I need help. I need help. And he never got any help because there was no help to give. As I said, the worst prisons are places in poor countries. There was no help to give. But upon discovery of Andersonville prison, remember how much anger there was in the country at this time. Just wars always breed that because of all the death and all the loss. How many dead? How many amputees? How many people mentally scarred? That's something we don't talk about when it comes to the Civil War. It's more of a modern thing. You think you weren't scarred back then? Watching your buddy's head get shot off with a cannonball right before you bayoneted somebody? Trust me, you had nightmares back then too. There was so much anger in the country. And remember, the North won, the South lost. So the South is going to catch the brunt of a lot of that anger. Now, this is officially the era of the photograph, remember. We have photographs. Now you discover a prisoner of war camp where men look like Holocaust victims long before there was a Holocaust. You see men emaciated beyond belief. Mass graves. The public anger was unbelievable. And Hangry Wirz has the distinction of being the only regular Confederate soldier executed for war crimes. They brought him to Washington, D.C. They arrested him in 1865 after the war was over. They brought him to Washington, D.C. A bunch of former prisoners gave testimony. As you can imagine, they did not have wonderful things to say. If I'm being very frank, a lot of this testimony looks a little flimsy. I heard from a guy who heard from a guy kind of a thing, but none of that mattered at all when you're dealing with your anger and when you've come across something so horrific. Generally, the mob is going to get a pound of flesh from somebody, and he was always going to be that guy. I'm not saying he deserved it. I'm not saying he didn't. I can't say that. Either way, he was convicted. They strung him up. They dropped the trap door, and his neck did not snap. Bad luck. It happens sometimes. Sometimes it was done intentionally by the hangman. Sometimes not. Sometimes he just didn't know what he was doing. He drops through the trap door. His neck does not snap. And all those people watched him sit there and twist and shake his feet until he finally passed. And that is the story of Andersonville. Ugly little affair, isn't it? Horrible. Nothing to celebrate. Horrible affair. But we're done with it now. Let's get back to some politics. Let's talk about this communist child of a billionaire. Just let me talk to you about pain. Pain sucks, doesn't it? Daily grind pain. I'm not talking about banging your knuckle on the door or stubbing your toe. That's, of course, not fun, but it's the daily pain that sucks your life away. What don't you do anymore that you used to enjoy? Did you used to enjoy a good walk and now your foot hurts? Did you used to go to the gym more? Your back hurts now. Maybe you get headaches all the time. I don't feel like going out. Your body is trying to fight the inflammation. Your body needs help. Your body needs help. Relief Factor is a daily supplement. 100% drug-free. Over a million people have taken it. Did you know something like 70% of the people who order Relief Factor order more? What do you think that is? Try it for 3 weeks. Take it every day for 3 weeks. Your pain is about to disappear. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. A hope day. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats. We'll get to some emails in a minute. But, you know, we talk all the time about how these people, these elite communist scum, how they see themselves as kings and queens. And nowhere do you see more evidence of this than history itself, the history of all these communist movements, and in the children of modern American tycoons. Those are the two places you can really see it. Remember, communism is always, almost every single time, it is a rich kid leading it. A rich kid full of angst, lacking a purpose, I don't know. Pretends to be part of the downtrodden and tries to pretend to be their champion on the way to murdering millions of people. Mao was a rich kid. Lenin was a rich kid. Che was a rich kid. Castro was a rich kid. These are all rich kids. All of them. Pol Pot, his family was, they were practically part of the royal family. He was so rich, he traveled abroad and learned communism in France. Almost always led by rich kids. History shows it. Today, the leaders of various communist movements, rich kids almost every single time. And what saddens me to no end is how many iconic American tycoons who built this country, had a big, big hand in building the United States of America we have today, their heirs have taken their money and their legacy and used it to destroy the United States of America. Walt Disney would jump off a bridge if he saw the things his kids and grandkids have done with his legacy and his money. He would be mortified. If you told Walt Disney that one day the Walt Disney World theme park in Orlando would have a dude with a beard dressed up like a princess selling things to little girls, Walt Disney would have lost his ever-loving mind. Henry Ford, of course, kind of didn't like you people, Chris, but still an iconic American tycoon. The Ford Foundation is one of the most disgusting communist organizations in the country. Rockefeller, same thing. This story blows me away. So Mamdani, you already know Mamdani. He's going to be the communist mayor of New York City unless a miracle happens. He's going to take the most important city in the world, one of my favorite places in the world. It's already in a bad state, and he is going to destroy it in unimaginable ways. And people wonder, how is he getting support at all? Because if you turn on the television set, or today it's just social media, he has some extremely professional ads, doesn't he? This is not some guy running with 55 cents here. It's almost as if he's being bankrolled. Well, one, surprise, surprise, he's a rich kid. I know it's shocking. Two, here's a headline for you. Billionaire hedge fund heir Elizabeth Simmons donates $250,000 to the pro Zohran Mamdani super PAC. You don't know her. Her father was Jamie Simmons. He's dead. Obviously, hedge fund manager, billionaire. Of course, his daughter, she's now the chairwoman of the board of directors of the Heising Simmons Foundation. Surprise, surprise. Knock me over with a feather. She inherited a bunch of money she didn't earn, hates the United States of America, hates everything that is good and right, starts her own foundation with, of course, the hyphenated last name, and now vast quantities of money get shuttled out the door to destroy the country itself. This is a billionaire. Billionaires live in ways that you and I will never understand. It is all high-rise apartments. Nobody ever tells you no. It is private security everywhere you go. If you're going to the mall, private security. If you're going to France, private security. Legions of them. Private jets. Gated communities. Elizabeth Simmons, when New Yorkers begin to die from more criminals on the streets, when poor people, normal people suffer unimaginably because they have a communist in charge now, not even the tiniest amount of that will ever touch Elizabeth Simmons. But there's something about the rich kid who just gets infatuated with murdering millions of people. They can't help it. There is something about them. And it's not all children of wealth. Maybe you're a child of wealth. Maybe you're wealthy and your children will be wealthy. It's not all of them. But those are the ones who fund and lead these movements pretty much 99% of the time. Why is Mamdani, why did he get so much backing, so much funding, such great TV commercials? Because other wealthy rich kids just like him can't wait to have a lot of fun experimenting with communism in America's most important city. And not a single one of them will personally suffer because of it. If New York gets too bad, Elizabeth Simmons will simply go to Greece. She'll be somewhere on the Mediterranean. She'll be in Florida. She'll be in California. She'll be in her ski mansion somewhere. You poor people stuck in New York? That's a whole lot of not her problem. The children of the rich kids are always the biggest mass murderers. It's awful. It's awful. Almost as awful as giving your dog just dog food every single day without Rough Greens on it. Why would you do that? Why are you doing that to your dog? You love him, right? Doesn't he love you back? Big, fluffy, stupid Fred loves us back. And granted, I mean, he's certainly not the smartest dog I've ever had in the world, but he is most definitely the sweetest. Every single person. We took him out to, James had a cross-country race on Saturday. We made the mistake of bringing Fred. Every single woman in the place, oh my gosh, he's so fluffy and cute. And then Fred thought he was in heaven. And we would like that to continue as long as humanly possible. We sprinkle Rough Greens on his food so he can live longer. It has improved his digestive system. Fred used to have problems after every meal. No more. Never again. His energy. His coat. He's still dumb. Rough Greens can't fix that. But get your dog some Rough Greens. America's number one dog supplement. RoughGreens.com or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. Emails next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, including our long history we did on the Andersonville prison, You can go download the podcast. It's all free. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, you mentioned, or the guys, the subject of this one is rear area safety. You mentioned as a parent, it doesn't count as much if your kid in the military who has a job in a relative in the relative safety of the base. Although I'm sure letters or cookies from home can boost morale during the front line. Are there jobs that fighting troops really look down upon, death dodgers, while others are at the under the threat of losing life or limb? It's not exactly what I said. We were talking about chicken hawk politicians and how I find it completely unacceptable that in America today, we don't have our politicians who love war, love sending in the troops. They never send their own. And if they do, they send their own to a safe rear area job. That's not to put down anybody's safe rear area job where you don't leave the wire. Not at all. All those positions are necessary. It's not putting that down at all. But it, don't think that you're just, the problem is they use it to check a box. My son was in the army. I know all about bravery. Yeah, what did he do? Oh, he was in supply. Okay, I'm not putting down the service, but did he ever get shot at? Anyone ever try to kill him? Well, then don't act like it's the exact same thing. What I'm talking about is there has to be some sort of a risk of personal loss to you. A risk of personal loss. That's what I was discussing. As far as the do fighting troops really look down upon death dodgers or whatever, look, I'll put it to you this way. No, we didn't. But at the same time, maybe in a small way. Okay, here. Speaking of supply, we had to show up as a company. I was in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines Alpha Company. We had to show up. We had to go down to supply. Every now and then you have to go, you know, check out this thing or check into that thing. Or maybe you have to go as a company down to supply and update paperwork of some kind. We had to go to an administration building, an administrative building. You with me? Our entire company gets in formation. We march down there. We show up. There are other companies that are ahead of us there. They have showed up ahead of us. None of the other companies who showed up ahead of us to do all this paperwork they had to do, none of them were infantry companies. They had various other roles, supportive roles. Our company first sergeant, man I love dearly, listens to the show as a matter of fact, our company first sergeant walked right up and said, yeah, we're next, we're first. And the others said, excuse me, we were here first. And he said, yeah, but we're infantry, so we're first. You guys can wait. It's not a looking down on. It's not that. But it most definitely is different. And you know it's different. And everybody knows it's different. It's different, right? That's all it is. It's different. Jesse, I listen on 640 WHLO in Akron, Ohio. I love when Ohio people listen. I don't know why. It's from where I'm from. During the baseball season, they run the games instead, so on and so forth. I asked Alexa to play the... Okay, so listen... If you don't get all 3 hours of the Jesse Kelly Show, I have great news. You know how I tell you to download iHeart, Spotify, iTunes on the podcast? But maybe you're a listen live person. You like to listen in your car or at work or something like that. On the iHeart app, which is free. All this is free. On the iHeart app, you can listen to any station you want. Any station you want. If you go to the Jesse Kelly Show, jessekellyshow.com, if you go to jessekellyshow.com, you will see all the stations the show is on, all across the country, New York to Hawaii, everything in between. It's all across the country. If your particular affiliate, maybe they have a different contract with this or contract with that, there's different reasons, right? It doesn't mean your affiliate's doing anything wrong at all, just different reasons. Just go find one that's playing the show live for 3 hours and listen to that one. I'll tell you, that's what my mother does. My mom's listening right now. I love you, Mom. Mom, if she gets any kind of an interruption on the Jesse Kelly Show, she immediately just switches to a different station and listens to it live. You can listen live on the iHeartRadio app. It downloads right on your phone. It's easy. Anybody can do it. The iHeartRadio app lets you listen to any affiliate you would like. All right? All right. Jesse. Time for a serious talk. Recently, I heard you talking about ranch on tacos. This is pure blasphemy. I live in San Diego with far superior Mexican food. Tacos have corn tortillas. They're filled with shrimp. Okay, first of all, don't ever sell corn tortillas to me. Corn tortillas are garbage. They are garbage, Chris. They are terrible. No, it's not that you need them fresh. I've had them fresh. I've had them not so fresh. Corey, why are you shaking your head too? They're garbage. Yes, never corn. Never corn. Flour tortillas. And first of all, say it right. What, Chris? Why do you make that face?
Buenas tardes.
Tortillas is how you say it. Flour, never corn. I don't need the grainy stuff in there. Honestly, this is, you know what? That's basically what they were eating in Andersonville. Dear Jesse, my family and I were very touched when you read an email 2 years ago, just after my daughter had lost her baby at 37 weeks pregnant. After two very difficult years and lots of prayer, my daughter, Emma, gave birth to a healthy baby boy. How about that? James Daniel was born on August 31st. Just wanted to let you know. Says I can say her name. Her name is Sylvia. Sylvia, Emma, congratulations to all of you. That is an awesome, awesome feeling. If you are somebody who has gone through losing a pregnancy of some kind, if you are able to have another one, when that baby comes out healthy and you can have another one, oh, is it a load off your shoulders in an amazing feeling. And I remember when Luke was born, what that felt like. It was freaking wonderful. All right, here. Maine police officer. See, we still have a long way to go. Maine police officer arrested by ICE agrees to self-deport. What? He's a citizen of Jamaica. Somehow, because Maine's insane, allowed him onto the police force. Maine allows that. He then tries to purchase a firearm. Okay, this guy shouldn't be here. And now he's going to self-deport. No, you go to prison first. No, you go to prison first. I do not like making it nice for people who violate our laws. We need to stop making it nice for foreigners to violate our laws in this country. No more nice. You've, I'm sure, heard about this story in Florida because Gavin Newsom gave this guy a CDL license.
Following the wreck, investigators with the US DOT gave Singh an English language proficiency test. According to a DOT press release, the driver failed the assessment, providing correct responses to just 2 of 12 verbal questions and only accurately identifying 1 of 4 highway traffic signs.
Guy gets a CDL license to drive a big rig in America because California is run by a bunch of evil communists. He can't read, speak, or understand English. He takes his big rig down to Florida, does an illegal U-turn, kills an entire family. I want the death penalty. Capital punishment. But it was an accident. Nope, don't care. Send him to the chair and then send a memo out to the rest of the world. Tired of this nonsense. All right, let's talk about the troops down in Venezuela, get to some headlines I didn't get to. Let's also, let's change our phone real quick, huh? Let's switch up our cell phone service. Pure Talk, I love them. You know, I got a text, what was it? It was last night. I got a text last night from a Medal of Honor recipient, a living Medal of Honor recipient. And you know what he was doing? Besides wanting to hang? He was hanging out with Pure Talk. Pure Talk and veterans, it's a match made in heaven because Pure Talk's run by a veteran. The CEO of Pure Talk was Mac V. Sog in Vietnam. You want to talk about leaving the wire and going to a very dangerous place? Most of those guys died. He came back. He runs Pure Talk now. They care about veterans, hang with veterans. They'll provide you the exact same service for less money. New phone or keep your phone. Keep your phone number. Switch. Make the switch to that kind of company. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We are already way done with the week. We're over halfway done with the week. Smile, even though it's still summer and summer sucks. Smile about this, too. Wow, you thought the Democrat Party may be in kind of bad shape? Well, a report came out today from the New York Times. I won't go through all the nerdy details. Democrats are losing voter registration everywhere, not just in red states, purple states, blue states. Republicans are gaining. Democrats are losing. The Democrat Party is hemorrhaging voters. Men hate them. Hate them. Young people hate them. The only two things holding up the Democrat Party at all are 65-plus-year-old Americans and some middle-aged women. It's all they have left. Everyone hates them. And Joe Scarborough brought it up today in this dirty commie on his show. Well, she sure seems like she's got the solution figured out.
In the 30 states where they track voter registration over the past 4 years, Democrats have lost to Republicans in every single state. Why?
And I think it's a couple things. I think one is the people who are breaking through are brave, right? They talk like humans. They make the case. You know, it's not necessarily left versus center. It's fight versus cave. And the people who fight get support. And the people who cave or are mealy-mouthed or are, you know, very sort of corporatist-y, that crew, the crew that's afraid, cannot breakthrough, does not appeal to voters. The question is, it's only going to be for people who really feel authentic, right?
Yeah, Cher, like, Cher has never been afraid of his shadow.
Exactly.
He's always spoken his mind.
Chris Murphy, Sherrod Brown, Mondami, these people, AOC.
They think the solution is more communism. This is what has put the Democrat Party on a death spiral, which is, I've cautioned you before, they won't stay there forever. It's not just that they're down. They're heading down. They're spiraling down. They're down, and the people who run the party, the people who run the party want to double down and triple down on all the reasons they're already down. The Democrat Party is down, not because they don't fight enough. You're down because young men hate you. You hate young men. Young men hate you now in return. It's very obvious. You don't have to be political. I've told you before, my sons, of course, they're going to know a bit more about politics and things than others. It's not just them. It's their friends. They call each other Democrat now as an insult. And most of these kids are not political. Ha! Listen to this Democrat. Oh, what? He doesn't want extra cheese on his pizza. Okay, Democrat. Young men have learned to hate Democrats as much as the Democrats hate them. And working class people, normal people, Democrats don't talk to them. They scold them. They talk above them. Look, the Democrat Party has become the party of the LGBTQ movement and illegals. Those are the ones they shout about all the time. Democrat after Democrat after Democrat on the television set saying this
stuff.
What
is happening right now under the Department of Homeland Security is unconstitutional. It is actually unaccountable, and it's against the law.
What about this representative from Virginia? What's his name? Suhas Subramanian, but whatever it is.
It's different from going up to people without telling them what they've done in masks and putting them in detention facilities. And I think the people that are being approached did not commit any crimes, did not, weren't even suspected of any crimes.
Coming into the United States of America illegally is illegal. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's a crime. Overstaying your visa is not lawful. You can't do that. They speak like this.
If a year from now, or a month from now, or if a week from now, if your cousin is kidnapped off the street, If UCLA closes down, if we announce that there won't be an election, if the census that we're relying on for the commission's next stab at redistricting doesn't include 1.5 million Californians in it, if we have no democracy left and we look back and said...
They're openly campaigning to include illegals in the census. That's what the party is now. All of them. You're never going to get back middle America like that. Normal people like that. I'm not saying all these normal people, all these normies are Republicans. All they know is they hate Democrats. Before I move on, there's a story from here in the Houston area. I just wanted to bring it up really quickly. There's a man, a serial creep. He is essentially looking for prey on a few jogging trails here in Houston. And he continues to assault women whenever he finds them. All they have right now is a sketch of him. He's done this many times before. He just cost some woman her baby. She was pregnant. He assaulted her, cost her her baby. I want to remind you, ladies, especially, that walking trail in the country, in the city, there are bad men on it looking for you. Please get a Byrna compact launcher. Please. They have a holster for it. It's small. It's the size of a smartphone. You want to put it in your little purse. It's fine. There are several different parts of athletic wear now for women where you can carry it comfortably. And you're legal everywhere because it is not a gun. It shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls. Legal in all 50 states. No permit required. Get one and carry it. Get one and carry it, please. BYRNA. Bad men are out there looking for you. BYRNA. Byrna.com. Go get one, all right? All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Breaking. Donald Trump sends Navy destroyers and 4,000 troops to the Venezuelan coast. Look, I'm sure Donald Trump has the right idea, and I'm not trying to complain too loudly, but nobody has thought about the danger in putting 4,000 Marines just off the coast of a bunch of Latinas in South America. This could go south really, really poorly. There's probably a Marine in the water swimming for it as we speak. Adam Schiff sets up legal defense fund as mortgage fraud probe escalates. From what I understand, this is more than a probe. He said his legal residence was in Maryland in order to get a better interest rate. You can't be a senator from California with your legal residence in Maryland. And this is all black and white. People were in prison for this. I don't know that Adam Schiff isn't going to prison. How amazing would that be? In the 21st century, President Trump recognizes space as the new battlefield. I can't even tell you how much I want to be part of that, even though I don't have any real interest in space. What, Chris? I want one of the space laser weapons. That's exactly right. Yes, it's about the weapons. You know they're going to have laser weapons in things, and maybe... Imagine like a special sword or something like that. They're going to have special stuff, and I want space stuff. I ran out of time. I kind of went off on the space thing. Anyway, we'll do it tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.